Hello everybody, it's Mike Seale, energyperformancecertificates.org. Thanks for joining us on our fifth podcast in the series. And today's surprise guest is Phil Salomon of Quidos.co.uk. I want to put something on the end there. I guess it's limited really, isn't it? Is that you, Phil? Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, Mike. it's Philip Salomon here, and the company is Quidos Limited, and the web address is quidos.co.uk, and well done in the pronunciation.
Thanks for joining us, Phil. Do appreciate it. There's a lot of DEAs out there that want to hear what your side of the industry have to say, and basically to paint your side of the fence to them, really, because there's a lot of concern out there. But let's just first talk about yourselves. Quidos are a relative newcomer to the accreditation side of the industry. Tell us a bit about the background to that. How you came
to
it?
Sure. Quidos itself, I'm the managing director, and was formed 3 years ago. More than luck than anything else, I realised property marketing details in estate agents were fairly poor in the area, which we're based in Bath, and so I bought a camera and decided to offer my services to estate agents. That quickly developed to not only offering photography, but floor planning skills, and then property particulars. The way we got involved in DEA work was via the HIPS market. HIPS we saw as an addition to our product portfolio, so we decided to get involved in the trials in Bath and Southampton from last November, and we produced around 50 HIPS. One thing I discovered from doing the HIPS was they are a collection of documents that have been provided by solicitors for many years already. It's just the collection of these documents is provided at the beginning of the sales process of property rather than at the end. I think everyone knows that. But the one thing that is different from the collection of documents is the EPC, the Energy Performance Certificate. And we realized that this was the market to get involved in for a number of reasons, but namely, we're already doing it in a way. And what I mean by that is we send out people to collect data. They either take a photograph or they measure up properties to provide the floor plan. Creating an EPC is merely another form of collating data. So we decided to train all our own staff up to provide EPCs. And then additionally, as things have taken off, we've realized we need to create a panel to take on other DEAs, and also we've got involved in the accreditation market as well.
Okay, that's interesting. So I believe you have an exclusive breaking news announcement to the DEAs that listen to this podcast.
World exclusive.
Tell us about that.
Indeed. Well, if you are listening today on the 18th of July, well, we are going live with our accreditation scheme. There have been various rumours in the market whether it's happening or not, and I can guarantee and tell you for a fact today it is happening. We will be publishing details on our website later this afternoon or maybe early this evening. The reason we have delayed it slightly because we got a formal approval a month ago from the CLG was that we wanted everything to be in place and working. We did not want to go live with a scheme that was only half in place. We have successfully registered one home inspector and one DEA, and we've also managed to put through an EPC into the Landmark database. So therefore, we're very confident the software works. But secondly, the administration has to work. The customer service, which you know is very dear to my heart, and has to work very well. That is all in place now, and I've got a team of people in a separate office to my headquarters here in Bath, ready and waiting to accept applications, and then further to that, obviously provide support to our members.
Brilliant. Well, congratulations on that, and welcome to the world of hell, I guess, because apparently...
I wouldn't say that.
Well, there's been a lot of concern out there about experiences that DEAs are having with getting accredited, with the delays from the various accreditation bodies, stories of samples of being swept aside by, to name but one, the National Association of Estate Agents, who are apparently reviewing a sampling and holding them back, basically. Stories of other accreditation bodies that are guaranteeing 4 weeks turnaround and taking well in excess of 6 weeks and more. And obviously, as you can appreciate, there's a lot of concern out there about whether they're actually going to be able to work come August the 1st.
Well, then in which case I can only suggest to those people to sign up with us. We'll guarantee that if you put in an application this week or even next, you'll be ready for the 1st of August. As I said, the reason we've delayed our going live with the project is to ensure that we have no delays. We have our staff trained and ready to go. We have the software and processes in place, and we do not intend to make the mistakes of our competitors. I can't possibly comment on, you know, the internal processes of other accreditation schemes out there, but I can certainly comment on ours, and I'm happy to do so.
Hey, so you heard it here, folks. What's your turnaround again, sorry?
7 days.
7 days. That is probably a market beater at the moment, I think.
But it's ultimately irrelevant. That's just how we do things. If other people want to take longer, that's up to them. What I will say is that is based upon an application being in its entirety, i.e. complete. If we are missing certain documents like a copy of the passport or driving license, well, it's going to take longer. And applicants should realise that. But, you know, we got very clear instructions of what to include on the application form and the documentation required.
Okay. And how much is it to accredit for yourselves, Phil?
The cost of membership is £150, and that is only due from the moment you create your first EPC. So on the basis that we'd rather get people accredited now rather than waiting until they actually desperately want to go. We imagine that as soon as most people get their accreditation, they'll be starting to produce EPCs, so it's a fairly irrelevant offer. The main part of the sort of interest, I suppose, of our charges is the I wish the industry would come up with a standard phrase for this, but the lodgement fee, i.e. the cost per EPC that we will charge, and that starts at £6.25 per EPC plus the landmark charge, which is around £1.15. On top of all of this, you've got to add VAT.
I think many DEAs would pull the standard phrase "rip off," not referring to you, obviously, Chris.
Why would they call it a rip off?
Well, I think to them, I mean, this is just not specific to lodgement fees. It's just the perception is that everyone is taking a slice out of their income. The software, the lodgement fees, the registration fees, the triennial, the annual fees that are going on. It's just...
Yeah, sure, but let's imagine, let's just break this down and work out what are we actually as an accreditation scheme providing for our members. Well, number one, the ability to trade. You know, fair enough, if there were no costs for us, we probably wouldn't charge anyone to do it. There are costs for us. We have had to put in an administration centre to deal with this. You know, I can imagine if members ringing us up and saying, what the heck do I do? I've got a property with two boilers and I don't know how to do it. What should I do? We're going to be on the phone to help them. So there's that part of support we'll give. Secondly is the quality assurance. You know, as an accredited scheme, we are under obligation to the government to quality check every single DEA. They do not want charlatans in this industry, and quite rightly so. So we will be checking on everyone. Have no fear of that. And in fact, we're sort of like a police force, if you like. Now, it costs us money to provide that. We have to send out a home inspector or assessor to go and assess every single member of ours once a year. Now, if you consider most people are going to be charging £100 for an EPC, well, we're going to have to pay somebody £100 to go and assess that DEA. Who pays for that? I'm not a charity.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, further to that, we're also working on their behalf to provide them with updates in the industry, to provide them with CPD training, to provide a whole plethora of different options that they can, you know, use to further advance their own careers.
Well, this is why I've got you on, Phil, because there are two sides to a story, and basically what everyone wants to do is to listen to your side of the story. At least, you know, it's no good having a conversation amongst ourselves without the inclusion of you to put your side of the story, because I think there is probably an argument that can be put as to, you know, back office support, for instance. That is a factor when you're self-employed and on your own working in the field. You know, how do you juggle all the responsibilities that you have? And obviously that costs. So even if they are taking home £120 per EPC, as some expect, you've got to deduct those costs from that and somehow juggle.
Of course.
If you can't do it yourself, you're going to have to pay someone else to do it.
Yeah, it's a business like any other, whether you're self-employed or a PLC. you know, you have income coming in and costs going out, and hopefully the income is more than the costs and you make a bit of money for yourself. That's the basic principle of business. I don't need to point that out. But I think what a lot of self-employed DEAs have perhaps not realized at this stage is there are, you know, a huge number of factors that will, you know, impact on their profitability. And number one, as you quite rightly pointed out, is administration, booking in jobs, providing customer support. The little lady you went to last week who wants to ring up and have a chat about the lagging on the boiler that you've recommended for on her EPC. There's the times when you want to go on holiday and arranging cover for that. There's the relationships with the estate agents, HIP providers and everyone else. There's the tax implications, the IR35. You know, I go on and on and on. I think, you know, self-employed route is good for those who want to. Perhaps a more independent and relaxed form of vocation. But I believe that the whole marketplace will change and a lot of self-employed DEAs will actually club together and form their own companies or, in fact, join organisations such as ours and be looked after for their administration. We're very experienced in sending people out in the field. That's what we've been doing for the last 3 years. So we have those systems in place. At the moment, we're not employing any more DEAs because, you know, the industry hasn't started yet. As soon as it does and we see the volumes coming in, we will do so.
Okay. Let's just step back a bit and talk about training. As an accreditation body yourself now, this would probably, and a panel, this would probably be of concern to you. What are your thoughts about the apparent variance of quality in training? And this is a question really that was given to me by Neil Kurtz. We've had stories, I don't know whether you heard last week's podcast, of people who have had questions removed after they've taken the exam. So when it's gone for marking, questions have been removed. What are your comments on that?
Well, I'm very well informed about this, and yet another exclusive for this podcast, I suppose.
World exclusive.
I can tell you we've gained our ABI accreditation so that we can provide training for individuals to become DEAs. We believe that training is really at the core of all of this, and one of my particular sort of mantras really is that we are promoting an industry or starting an industry where we're promoting all the energy assessors to behave professionally. We can only do that if we as a training company instill in them those virtues at the start. And so I have been very unhappy with certain training companies out there that I've used to train my own staff, which is one of the reasons we decided to create our own training scheme. So as such, we are in the process of training and getting the diplomas for, you know, dozens of people at the moment. In terms of the exam questions, I am aware of that. But if you think about it logically, if you've got 20 questions and one of them is removed because a lot of people have got that question wrong because it was an ambiguous question, then surely it means that you've got one, your paper's now marked out of 19 rather than 20, and therefore you've got a higher percentage mark as a result.
A bloody good point, Phil. I've not thought about that. But this person is claiming that she or he lost by, I quote, the width of a gnat's pubic hair as a result of this.
But they would have lost by a lot bigger margin had that original question still been part of the test, because almost undoubtedly they'd have got that one wrong.
Yes. Okay, let's move on then. Right, okay. So, I mean, what are your thoughts, though? What about the quality of personnel that are coming through? Have you got any thoughts on that? Because basically anyone can come into this industry, business experience or none, education or none, let's face it, English or none, maths or none. Do you have any concerns about this?
None at all.
No?
None at all. I don't believe that we should be discriminating against anyone coming into the industry, and I think it would be completely wrong to do so. At the end of the day, there's a very defined qualification process, and if people aren't able to do that, i.e. if they can't speak English, then they don't get the qualification. That's a simple matter. So to deny people from even attempting to become a domestic energy assessor is wrong. However, I'm very much hostile and anti the people who are coming into this industry for the wrong reasons. And if anybody has ever rung my office and inquired about the training course, they will be told the same thing. You know, do not come into this industry to make a quick buck. This is an industry that will grow and is a new industry, but it is not a get-rich-quick scheme. We've unfortunately had all the people who've read the Daily Mail and the other publications saying, oh, I'm going to earn, you know, £80,000 a year, and where do I pick up the keys to the Ferrari? It's a load of rubbish, and we know that only too well, because we know the numbers of jobs that people can do per day. We've been doing it, as I said, for the last 3 years. We send people out every day to visit properties. We know the problems that are incorporated with that. This rubbish I hear about, I'm going to do six jobs a day. Yeah, you could do six jobs a day. It could be sunny in the UK every day. It's just not going to happen. There are dead months of the year where people don't sell their properties, November, December, January, and August. Yeah. These are historically incredibly quiet months, and people, there won't be the work out there. And even if there was, doing six jobs a day is going to exhaust people. So I do not believe that in the slightest. Getting back to the sort of quality of people coming into the marketplace itself, we're very keen on taking the right people onto our course. They have to be motivated. We've had numerous people ring up and say, oh, my son hasn't been able to do anything else. I'll pay you the fee. Just get him on the course. We're not taking their money because we don't believe that that person has the right motivation to become a DEA. Similarly, there are people who want to get involved because they're currently disingenuous about their own industry, whether it be IT, what else have we had, surveyors, or all types of people. You've got to do this for the right reasons. It is a nomadic lifestyle. You are wandering around from property to property. There is no office-based facility other than at your home or maybe an office, creating your EPC at the end of the day. You don't sit around and have a gossip about the TV yesterday. You don't sit in front of a computer all day. It's not that type of job. And that appeals to certain people, but others aren't as interested.
I know from a past job I've done, it's not. It's quite stressful, especially with traffic being as it is these days. And parking, yeah. and just finding places, even in your own hometown, you can discover places you've never been to before in your life. And there's the range of people as well. There are like some right nutters out there, and some right chatterboxes, let's say, and you've got to be able to have the skills to deal with these people.
Absolutely. You know, the job itself is twofold. There's the technical side of it, being able to actually energy assess a property. But there's also the customer service side of it, and it's something we're very keen and hot on, promoting it when people first apply. One of those two skills is very important to us, and we can train the other. But when we visit properties, we're always, my guys are always smartly turned out. They're always very polite, but they explain to everyone they've got a job to do, and therefore they're going to be as efficient, do that job as efficiently as they possibly can. The problems every day we face are people forgetting they've got an appointment and don't turn up to let the inspector in. The problem as you've mentioned, traffic, or the estate agent, forgetting to have the keys on that particular day that you've got to pick up. Every day, one of our guys will have at least a problem on this front, and it's a very regular problem. But it's built into our business model, and we accept it.
Okay. You mentioned numbers of jobs. Just briefly tell us, in your experience, having had 3 years now of doing similar work, how many jobs DEAs can expect to do realistically in a day?
Do you really want to know the answer?
No. No, go on.
It's 2.2.
Really?
Yep.
Blimey. So how many hours are you basing that on per EPC?
About 40 minutes.
So you're building in 40 minutes per EPC plus travelling, dinner breaks,
what,
I guess.
What that is over an annual period.
I see.
So you may well do one job in the 2 weeks leading up to Christmas. You may well do five jobs a week in June. You're going to want to go on holiday in August. You're going to have the week where your daughter's ill and you've got to stay at home. You've got to have the week before the tax man comes to inspect you. That is over the course of a year, and we believe, and our history shows it, that's about right. I mean,
wow.
That's still, we base it on 400 jobs a year. Roughly, a bit more than that perhaps, but we anticipate most people will work 200 days a year and they'll do 2.2 jobs a day. But further, let's think about something else here. The whole property market in the UK, there are 22 million residential and commercial properties, each one of which will need an EPC in the next 10 years. If you imagine that they're going to have that's going to be spread over 10 years, so 2.2 million a year. Now, I appreciate certain properties will have one a year and the like, but that's 2.2 million divided by the number of DEAs we're going to have. Now, what's that? 6,000? I don't know. You probably know the numbers better than I do. But let's say there's 6,000. That's 366 EPCs each.
Yeah.
Now, if someone's doing 1,200 a year, well, which poor bugger's doing zero a year? You know, it swings and roundabouts. But this is not, you know, doom and gloom. This is not sort of hell on earth. This is not a cause for concern. And I'll tell you why. There is a huge, and I mean massive, market out there for ancillary services. You, as a DEA, have to be able to diversify. You have got an amazing opportunity in being able to be allowed into someone's home. And with that privilege, you should be adding other services to your armory, whether that be photography, floor planning skills. Obviously, I'm prejudiced on those two. But maybe locksmith skills, you know, being able to install lagging on a boiler, being able to offer, you know, energy services. Now, your accreditation scheme may frown upon offering third-party services there and then. You can always leave your business card and say, get in touch with me if you need anything. There's no problem with that. There's so many other things that are coming out. The new properties, you know, you're going to need to qualify, get an extra qualification in your SAP rating. If you get that, then you can be a DEA doing the new build stuff. There's a massive market of new build properties. I think it's, you know, 300,000 a year. You've got the what do they call them? The corporate energy certificates for all public institution buildings coming out in April next year. Every single public building has to have an EPC. That's a massive amount of work. You know, there's huge potential out there, and I think the EPC and being a DEA should be seen as a stepping stone to other things.
That's a very buoyant perspective, Phil. Thanks for that.
Well, is there any other way? You know, I am sure everyone who's a DEA has already thought about this and realizes that this is only one part of their armory of job title. I'm sure people haven't just sat there thinking, yep, I'm going to sit here and wait till somebody calls me and gives me my work. No. You know, we're not talking about naive people here. We're talking about intelligent and motivated people, or else they wouldn't have got involved in this industry in the first place.
Okay, so briefly then, we've got apparently today AHIP have announced new figures saying that they're one shy of 2,000 accredited. I don't know whether you were aware of this. It's just come out.
I'll put another one on this afternoon and that'll make 2,000.
So we're all three beds and over, and under to, and over, should I say, to go on August the 1st. Now, but apparently, according to the government figures last week, there are 6,000 who have trained, or somewhere in the system anyway. That's a lot of DEAs coming through, thanks to the training providers painting this glorious sunshine of hope and ambition.
I think you need to take these figures slightly with a pinch of salt. The government have only just realised they've been double counting, or perhaps treble, or even quadruple counting. Previously, it was always expected that the cost to joining an accreditation scheme would be quite high and hence prevent people joining multiple accreditation schemes. Now that figure has come down dramatically, in the case of some of the bigger guys, they've removed it completely. Well, it's a pay-as-you-go system and you may as well be a member of as many accreditation schemes as possible. And the government perhaps haven't realised that and are counting everybody twice, three times, four times. So don't quite believe all the figures you see. Government, of course, will announce there's many more people out there because it suits them to do so. I believe that there still is nowhere near enough people in the system, and we need a hell of a lot more.
Well, this really needs to be taken care of, Phil, doesn't it? Because, I mean, there are a lot of disheartened, disillusioned and demotivated DEAs out there who are dragging their feet on becoming accredited because of this as being one of the reasons. They just don't see a future. They think it's going to be an oversaturated market.
Well, let me put their mind at rest. And, you know, number one, I understand the frustrations of the DEAs. I can't try to even empathise or sympathise with what they're going through at the moment. It must be a horrific experience. And I'm sure their checkbooks are red hot with paying out the amount of money they've had to and seeing no income coming in. But there is a light at the end of the tunnel. You know, number one, whether HIP survive or not, and quite frankly, I don't really care, the EPC is here to stay. It's a European directive. It has to be around. It's mentioned in the Kyoto Agreement, and therefore it will be here. The British government, whenever they enter a European directive, not only achieve that mark, but they always gold-plate it. They go that step further. And hence, an EPC should be valid for 10 years. The government will bring that down to a year, I'm sure. And therefore, every property will have to have a new EPC every year. And, wouldn't it be a surprise if the EPC was linked to council tax banding? I didn't say that. It was just something I thought when I saw the band ratings being A to G or H, being very similar to the council tax bandings. But, maybe that's a coincidence. The point really is that EPCs are going to become a way of life when you sell a property. Exactly the same way that you have a for sale sign outside your house. It will happen, no doubt about it. And as I said, you need to use that opportunity to also add to your armory other skills. And whether that become, as I mentioned before, floor plans or evaluation, become a home inspector. I believe personally the HCR will become popular in time. These will basically, and I think probably the people who need to be most fearful about this industry are chartered surveyors at the moment. Because suddenly they are going to be realizing that other people will be doing their job. Now, I'm not saying that they're going to be doing home buyers surveys where an opinion is given, but certainly for observational reports like evaluation, like an EPC or an HCR, there is a massive industry out there.
Well, I think we know Rick's position on this, don't we, Phil? So let's move on. Okay, I'm fully conscious of the time here, and I just hold my hands up to everybody now. I cocked up monumentally by not switching on the driver that records this, so we started again halfway through. So I just want to...
Oh, you mean you didn't get the bit at the beginning with me telling you my life story and history and my love of energy?
Before? I know, yeah, and I spared everyone, don't worry. No, let's just talk about yourselves once more then. You're a panel. Just for those who are not really au fait with the word panel and what it means, because I know I first came across it related to the finance industry. Just explain a little bit about what a panel is and your position in that.
Sure. I mean, it's worthwhile pointing out the different sort of elements of certainly our company. Number one, we offer the training, so people can train with us to become DEA and get their diploma. Secondly, there's the accreditation scheme, which is entirely separate. On that, we will license people to actually be able to trade. And thirdly, again, separately, and one, they're not mutually exclusive, they're not mutually dependent on one another, is the panel. It's basically a group of individuals or companies that can provide EPCs. We, as a company, have gone out there and said we will be able to do EPCs for anyone who wants us to do them for them. And that included our traditional clients, estate agents. But similarly, we've had solicitors, HIPAA providers, corporates, governments, everyone else coming to us saying, can we send EPCs your way? And we've, of course, not turned them down and said, yes, we will. Hence, we've got a lot of work, contracted to us as of the 1st of August that we need people to do the work. I do not have internal staff to do it all. So we've created a panel, a group of people, of which people, are self-employed DEAs or indeed DEAs employed by companies so that they can provide us with the EPCs and fulfill the work we need to.
And how do you get your work, Phil? Or is that something you sworn to secrecy on?
How do we get our work?
I gather you have contacts in the estate agency domain, I guess.
I mean, in our past is dealing with our estate agents directly. So a lot of our clients who tend to be the sort of upper market estate agents purely because we offer professional photography and glossy brochures have said to us, can you do, when you send your guys around to do the photos and the floor plans, can they also in the same visit do the EPC? Yes, of course. It's advantageous to them because no homeowner likes their property being invaded. And that's really what this is. It isn't a cursory sort of glance around the house to see if they want to buy it. It's a full-on investigation. It's looking in the loft. It's looking behind the cupboards. It's getting down into the loft, checking behind the sofa. It's really invasive. And therefore, if we can minimize that visit into one property inspection, estate agents love it. So that's one source of work. We've got others from solicitors who I personally believe will be the main source of HIPs if they ever come along. We've got the HIPAA providers who are, you know, got a lot of work coming in from estate agents and solicitors. We've then got corporates, you know, people who are doing, housing refits or the new home builders. And we've got local government as well who want their whole social housing stock having EPCs created.
Right, okay, thanks for that. And how much, let's get down to the fees then. How much are you offering for people on your panel?
How much are we offering people on our panel? That is a very good question, and I will look that up right away. We basically have taken the view that we're not going down the number of bedrooms route. It's an absolute nightmare. We, when we first started doing floor plans, we did that on the basis that a property, a four-bedroom property is going to be a bit bigger than a two-bedroom property, and that will take longer to draw. It created so many arguments, and the amount of times I had an argument with an estate agent whether the upstairs study room was actually a bedroom or not meant it's just not worth it. When you think about a DEA and what he's got to do, the only variable really is his time. So therefore, we're paying people for their time. Now, unfortunately, whilst I'd love to be able to pay on an hourly rate, a lot of estate agents and people who want the EPC don't want a figure based on time. They want a definite figure there and then. So the way we've done it is by property price. We've put it into five different bands, less than 250,000, less than 500,000, less than 750,000, less than a million and over a million. And the rates we pay for EPCs are £80, £90, £100, and £115. On top of that, if they can provide us with a floor plan, and I mean a RICS-approved quality floor plan, we'll pay an additional, £45, and that can easily get up to sort of £100 once you get into a bigger property.
Need special training, additional training to do floor plans?
Yes. We have to train people in our methodology. I'm not sure that's a word, but we need to train people exactly what we expect of them when they sketch a floor plan. We use best technology in the world, paper and pen. We do use a laser tape measure, but we put it all down on paper. We then send that off to our CAD drawers, and they turn it around overnight, and we have a CAD drawing the next morning, which we can provide to the estate agent. The benefit of our floor plans are they are within the RICS guidelines of 2% accuracy, so we give a very accurate square footage area, and in addition, you can also use these as lease plans for land registry purposes or solicitors.
Excellent. I used to be in sales years ago. We used to go around. I don't know whether you've been to America or Canada. This is apparently is quite standard in properties out there where they have inbuilt vacuum cleaners into the house. Have you heard of this?
I have, yes.
They're brilliant. You don't hear it. All you hear is the suction of air. It plugs into the wall. You get a 30-foot hose, and it sucks the living daylights out of your carpet. It sucks floor tiles off the floor virtually. But I used to have to do surveys for that, and used to get some interesting houses. And it needs thought. Not everybody can do it, I think, because I was the best in the company of doing it, of course. But it's an interesting additional income, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Whilst you're there.
We have clients, estate agents, who said they will only want people, only DEAs, who are floor plan trained to do the work for them. So we're going to be paying these guys, because there's so few of them at the moment, a higher rate for the EPC work. It's a service that is definitely required by estate agents. Look into any of the sort of more exclusive property estate agents' windows and you will see accurate floor plans. There are other versions of floor plans. Don't deny it. Metroplex is a fantastic product for drawing your own floor plan. But when it comes to more complicated and complex properties, definitely worthwhile sketching it on pen and paper and sending it to us for processing.
Yeah. Let me just give you the results of a survey that was recently conducted on the Home Inspector Forum, Phil. I don't know whether this might fill you with some joy for the day. The question was, are you prepared, not necessarily happy, to carry out an EPC for an average price of somewhere between £60 and £90? Yes, 28%. Not on your life, mate. 49%, maybe 21%. There was 250 votes on that, which might not sound a lot, but it's probably a better representation than you get from a Mori poll, considering the 2,000 that have accredited now and are ready to go. So, I mean, that must fill you with a bit of optimism.
No, I think that's a load of rubbish. You know, what a load of rubbish to say that you wouldn't do a job for 60 quid. Who is not going to go and do a job that they've trained to do for £60 for effectively an hour and a half's work? And I'd love to meet any DEA who can tell me and justify why they should earn more than a nurse or a teacher or a fireman with the amount of training they've had. You know, and it really makes my blood boil when I hear whinging DEA say, I'm only going to charge 150 quid. Get a life. You know, that is such a load of rubbish. You know, there is no one owes you a living, and I know this may be sort of damaging me as a person, but be realistic. You know, you've got to be realistic in this industry, and if you really think you can only, earn £150 for doing one job a day, then good on you, mate. But that's not going to happen in the industry. And like I said, if you diversify and add other skills to your armoury, then you can easily earn £150, but not by just doing an EPC on its own.
Don't hold back, Phil. Jeez. To be honest, Phil, I mean, I think that figure is better than it was a few months ago. I think you've asked that same question just 2 months ago. That 49% would have looked more like 80%, I would have guessed. But, your fees are ranging from £80 to £115 with the opportunity of doing floor plans. So you're really above that anyway. So I would imagine people would be pretty interested in what you've got to say today.
Yeah, I hope so. You know, if anything, I hope people realise I'm honest and I've got nothing to hide. We will pay people to do a good job. I'm not going to pay amateurs to do a job. We will only take on professional people. There's three key characteristics I always instill in all my staff, and that is professionalism, accuracy, and reliability. And if you can tick all three boxes, then I'm happy to have you work for me.
Excellent. Okay, so I think we've start wrapping this up now. Have you got anything particularly you want to say?
No, I just say to all DEAs out there that, you know, keep with it. It is a new industry. How often are you on the verge of a brand new industry? I know I've never been and I probably never will be again. It will happen. It's going to be profitable for those that want it to be. And, good luck.
You offer training in floor plans, Phil?
Sorry?
Do you offer training in designing floor plans?
We certainly do. All the information is available on our website.
Brilliant. And you just took me straight to it. This is your chance now to pimp your site.
Pimp my site? My goodness. Never heard of it called that before. It's www.quidos, and that's quidos.co.uk.
And if people want to contact you, can they, or is there any...
Of course they can. Absolutely. The telephone number's on the website, and I'm more than happy to take personal phone calls.
Brilliant. Phil, thanks ever so much for coming on board and taking part in this. It's been most interesting, genuinely most interesting. I think we've learnt a few extra things today. I wish you success in your new accreditation scheme, which launches today, and don't forget where you heard it, folks! And I hope that we can do this again sometime, Phil, because I know there's a hell of a lot more questions I have for you, but unfortunately, due to the time and my cock up there, I wasn't able to cover them.
No problem.
So
absolutely no problem at all.
Can we get you on board again?
Of course.
Well, I'll hold you to that then. Thanks ever so much, Phil, and good luck.
Thank you, Mike.
All the best.
All right.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Performance.